Hello, friends. You know, we're taking this group or this class on God wants to restore your soul. It'd be much easier if I could just talk with you face to face and explain how God did it for me and how he restored my soul. But instead, I'm going to just read some notes to you that I've really found in somebody else's book called Soul Care by Dr. Rob Reiner. Much of what I'm sharing with you now is coming from this book, but in between I'll explain how it worked for me and how God did it in my life. But before I get to that point, Lord, I pray now that you would just give me utterance by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would anoint my words and they would enter into the hearts and the minds of your people. Lord, these people want to be made restored. Father, they want to function better in life. And they want more in life than they currently have. And I pray that you would just cause me to touch upon those points that would be a help to them. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you've heard me say in many of my groups that there are two things that most people want, that everybody looks for. They need to know who they are. They need to know who they are. And then they need to know the meaning and purpose of their life. I first read this in Dr. David Seabury. I was an American psychologist in one of his books years ago. And I began to ponder that and think about that. But two things people really want to know, desperately want to know, who they are and what is the meaning and purpose of their life. And then Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who in his book, The Positive Power of Jesus Christ, he writes the same thing. What do people really want? Maybe I could ask you that right now. What is it you really want? He said deep down inside of them, they want to know who they are. They want to find themselves and to know their identity. And then in so finding their identity, they'll know what they want to do. You can take that as you'd like to, but these are two sources from over the years that I've read that have helped me give me an understanding how important it is that you know who you are. The session for today is called Our Identity, and then I'm going to talk about the lies we believe and explain how this connects to identity. So I'll probably make two recordings, otherwise it'll be too long at one time. But, you know, the Bible talks about, well, first of all, I'm just going to tell you my own story. I was reading many years ago in the 80s, I was reading a couple of scriptures in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But in those scriptures, it talks about, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And every time I read that scripture, I thought, what are you saying, Lord? I don't understand what you mean. And I looked up the word revealed. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It's not talking about when we get to heaven. I did decide that. It was talking about something here and now, which I didn't understand. But there's a basic principle that Jesus gave us over and over. He says, ask, seek, and knock. And that's what I was doing. Father, what does this scripture mean? And I looked up the word revealed, and it simply means to be uncovered. The word revealed, I don't know what translation you're looking at, but it means to be uncovered. In other words, we can see it. Once it's uncovered, we can see it. And then shortly thereafter that, I had several experiences that were Holy Spirit experiences that made a difference in my life. And the first one was in a dream, and I'm running down the street, running away from a monster. And I walk into, and I'm running down into my father's house, my father actually built this house. And I run into the house, slam the door, and turn around, and this shadowy figure that's following me is right behind me. And I turned around and I touched it and I said, who are you? What do you want? And as soon as I did that, I knew immediately that he was the Ark of the Covenant. That's strange, isn't it? Then I said, well, I know who the Ark of the Covenant is. It's Jesus. You can see that in Revelation. The Ark of the Covenant will never be found again, it says in the Old Testament. and people look for it, and they're never able to find it. But in the Revelation, it says that Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. At that point, then I understood that it's talking about that Jesus Christ is in me. Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. He is the living Word, and He's inside of me. That was my dream. I won't go into that any deeper than that, but it changed. It did so much to give me an understanding of who I am in Christ. The second dream was I was cut open. Once before I dreamt, 7 years before I dreamt, that I was cut open. And when I was cut open, I was filled with rottenness. And hands were putting salt in me. But in this dream, 7 years later, I'm again back on a table, like a surgery table, and I'm being cut open again. And out of me stepped the most beautiful lady that I could ever want to be. You know, that lady, that symbol, it was the new creation. When we're born again, it says we become a new creature, a new creation. And we try so hard to become that new creation, but it's not that. It's a spiritual reality that we have to have revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. That new creation is the true self. You'll hear later, I'll use the word false self. But it was my true self, and it was free. And then a few days later, I was sitting with my husband at a restaurant, and suddenly I had a vision. And I saw a vision of a little teardrop. It wasn't a crying tear. It was a tear that was pulsating with life. And as soon as I saw it, out of my mouth came the word, I am. I am. And then I said, oop, I can't say that. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. But what the Lord was revealing to me is, we don't have to try to be somebody. We don't have to be, and we just are. And that brings a tremendous freedom into your soul of trying to figure out what to say and what to do and all these things that we do when we don't know who we are in Christ. Made a big change in my life. But read Ephesians. It's in your homework assignment. I've sent it. You'll get it off my website. There's the first three chapters. Paul talks mostly about who we are in Christ. There's a whole list of them there. I encourage you to read that scripture, Ephesians chapter, the first three chapters. As a matter of fact, that phrase in Christ is used 11 times, 11 times in the first chapter, and 30 times in the entire book. See, once we're born again, we're united with Christ. Our spirit is united with His spirit. And that's for why we can become a new creation. Your spirit knows this, but your soul doesn't. And the soul needs to be restored. So you can read that and write that list down. I encourage you to do that because I know that we don't want to believe it because it takes revelation by the Holy Spirit for us to even believe it, I believe. But basically, we have a hard time believing any of it because our soul is a mess yet. It's still full of hurts and bitterness. It's a bit of a mess, the author writes. It can still have some demonic strongholds. It can have fears and faulty belief systems or lies about who you are. You can still feel condemned or ashamed. And so that's why we need to pursue sanctification. I talked to you about that on another recording. But it says in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men. And the sanctification. Sanctification is that word that I explained to you once before, but it has to do with, unless I don't remember how to explain it now, but it has to do with changing you, cleaning, making you free inside and pure inside, making you more like Jesus, helping you become simply who you are, not who you're trying to be, right? But who you already are. We have to work this out in our soul, what has already taken place in the heavenly realms through the work of Jesus Christ. Your soul, remember, your soul is where your mind is at, your thoughts, your will, and your emotions. And they still hold sway, is the word that they're using here, over your daily life. Your emotions, your will, and your thoughts. You may know that you are loved. The Bible says that you're loved. God loves you. You may know that in your head, but your heart doesn't know it. because maybe you grew up in an abusive home and you cannot believe that you were loved because you don't feel loved. You don't act as if you're deeply loved. Your soul still feels full of shame. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important to us. He's the one who gives us revelation. And God will speak to us in many different ways, by the way. You know, he speaks to us through the Word of God, but he speaks to us through a still, small voice, our intuition. But most of the ways he's spoken to me is in my dreams in the night. Sometimes a vision. Sometimes it's just suddenly a word of revelation just comes in, insight comes. The other way he speaks to us is prophecy. Some years before this time, I remember a man prophesying over me, and he said, "I see you like a rose beginning to open." And in your assignment this week, I've asked you to draw a picture of how you see yourself at this time right now, a symbolic picture, something to represent how you see yourself. That's in your assignment for this week. And I encourage you to bring it to group and share it. But this identity and who you are is, I mean, you could say, well, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, or I'm a nurse, or I'm this or I'm that, but that's not really who you are. These are your roles that you play. They're just the roles that you play in life. I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother, I was a nurse, I was a therapist. But those are roles I played, but that's not who I really am. And this is the question everybody has is, who am I? And I pray that you'll get revelation knowledge of who you are. For God wants to reveal it to you. You can ask and seek and knock. I'm on page 4 or 5. Okay. And so the next point I wanted to go to is that this author of this book, Soul Care, Dr. Rob Reimer, is interesting how he describes it, because he just says your identity is built on a foundation. What you believe about yourself is the foundation of your life. It is your identity. This foundation can have cracks in it, cracks in your soul. And your identity begins with what you believe about yourself. But the problem is, he says, that most of us believe lies about ourselves rather than the truth. And these lies are like building a house with a faulty foundation, and there's cracks in our soul. The problem with the lie is that I can't talk you out of the lie. This is my experience anyhow. I can't talk you out of the lie, because it needs to come by revelation from God only. He's the only one who can transform your soul and heal your heart. Many times we try to say this isn't true and just give you the truth and tell you, but it doesn't really enter into your heart. It says in Psalms 54, I think it is, that thou dost desire truth in my innermost being. This is where God's truth needs to be. It's not just in your head, but it needs to be in your innermost being. I didn't use that scripture now, but I think it's Psalms 54, that God desires that we have truth in our innermost being, down inside of you. This is where truth, or in your heart, where the truth needs to be of who you really are, not just in your head. But these lies that we grow up with believing, and of course Satan is a liar and he lies to you, and other people lie to you, and you can lie to yourself. But these lies form the foundation of of who you are, of your identity. But the power of a lie is your agreement with it. Whatever you agree with, we give power to. If you agree with the truth and hold on to the truth will set you free. But if you agree with a lie, its influence will shape your life and determine the shape of your life. So what do you believe about yourself? Do you want to know who you are? Who you were made to be? Because our life needs to be built on the truth and not a lie. If you're building your life on a lie, it isn't going to work very well. The foundation isn't properly set. It's not very well constructed. So that's why the Bible tells us to be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, as in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That word transformed in the Greek is metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar or a little worm that's going down the street. And it goes into a chrysalis, a little time period where it's just laying there inside of a little chrysalis. But one day that little caterpillar will break out of that chrysalis and it will become a beautiful butterfly that will fly. In some way, perhaps that represents us, but that's transformed. That new creation that stepped out of me the day I had that dream, that beautiful woman who stepped out of me, that was transformation. It says in the Bible, when you become born again, you are a new creation, but we don't know that yet until it's revealed to us who that new creature is, that new creation. I think it's second, I forgot where that scripture is at, but you probably have already heard it, but we try to be the new creation, but it has to become to us by revelation. As we go through the changes that God brings to us for a few years in there, as he renews your soul, restores your soul. He does many different things to help restore that soul and to heal the wounds in it. But in order to have our minds renewed, there are some things that would help you perhaps is you need, how do I say this? I mean, let's not do that right now. Basically, you know, when I had this dream where this beautiful woman stepped out of me, or I am, this when this little teardrop, it tells us in the Bible to hold on to the truth. Don't let it be taken or robbed away from you. Satan is a robber, a killer. He wants to destroy you. And the truth that you receive can be taken away from you if you don't hold on to it. If you hold on to my teaching, it says in John 8:31-32, if you hold to my teaching, you are to my disciples. Then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Just many people just know you know the truth. The truth will set you free. It's not just the truth alone. It's if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is an if and a then promise, right? If you hold on to his teaching, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is holding on to the truth. It was me holding on to the truth. That I was that beautiful woman stepping down, coming out of my body. So my mind was renewed, the basis of those dreams alone, the basis of that vision alone, my mind was renewed. I no longer saw myself the same way I used to see myself before then. The truth is who you are in Christ. As I said, your spirit already knows it, but your soul doesn't know it. Another way that helps us to be transformed is to access the presence of God, spend time with God. That's why you need to spend time with him. In 2 Corinthians 3, Paul is talking about our access to the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. That tells us in that in the presence of God, we can be transformed. So unless you know the Holy Spirit and you know how to listen to his nudges, unless you know how to respond to the Holy Spirit, you won't go too far yet. So I pray that if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in Luke, it says, if a child asks his father for bread, will he give him a stone? Then it ends that little parable with, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who love him? So you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Just simply ask him, Father, and then believe by faith that he's done it. Everything in God comes by faith first before it becomes a reality in us. But believe that he has filled you with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So we need to spend time alone with God in silence. That's this man's way of working. It didn't happen that way for me, basically. Most of my transformation became, like I said, through the dream or the vision or prophecy. But he wants to renew our mind. And I think I already talked about that with you. So So I want to talk to you about the lies, but I think I'll stop this recording for the moment and take it and do a new recording, because this is probably long enough. But the main point here is that you are not who you really are, unless you have seen it, had it revealed to you. As I said to you in Colossians 3, it was uncovered. When you discover who you really are, you're free. You're not bound like that little caterpillar is on the walking along the sidewalk. You are free. You're not trying to be something. You're able to flow with the current of the Holy Spirit. And you're able to do the things that God created you to do. Because you've been transformed. You've been changed. Metamorphosis. You've received the new creation has been revealed to you. The new creature, the new creation, as it calls it, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians 5:17. I think we're a new creation. And we need to have that revealed to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this recording now. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that for your truth will set us free when we listen to it and hold on to it. When we receive it, Father, not by somebody just giving it to us, Father, but comes by revelation, then we can hold on to that truth and we can keep it. And I can continue to live my life with that, remembering those days when you revealed to me that new creation, that beautiful woman that stepped out of me, the I am. I don't have to try to be who I am because that was revealed to me. I just am. So I thank you for the transformation, Father, your Holy Spirit is able to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.